everybody that's still here. That's good. A few years ago, I had the privilege to stand here to him sing and speak. Jonathan Boulard did the singing. And I thought, boy, I could have done the singing too. I thought that'd be great. But he wanted to do it. So tonight, we left the prayer for the gospel, and I said, did you get somebody to do the singing? Because he asked me to speak. I said, well, no. He said, you can do that. But I think he meant I could pick somebody to do it. But I didn't do that, so I get to do the singing tonight. So, if anybody has a...
M92.
But you have to pick ones that we know, or else I won't be able to do it. Okay. Number 92.
What 92?
Thank you.
186.
When Jesus There'll be no
up singing these hymns. And as much as Jonathan told me I should pick somebody to do this, probably saving somebody from such strain and stress is difficult. You think about these numbers and you look at it, it's like, oh no, I don't remember. My daughter looks at this dad. Anyway, doing our best, but I appreciate everybody's help. The last one, or do we have one more? Some clear their throats. Some clear their throats. Okay. All right, I get it. Let's pray. Our God, Father, we thank you for
and so it's encouraging to be able to look out and see familiar faces like this. And, you know, I was driving along, heading this way, and I was kind of thinking, well, this is going to be a nice time to sit here and listen to the meetings and take in what the Lord has for me, and no real responsibilities except for, you know, the ones that each of us have when we're together like this. And so I was sitting with Mr. Boulard in the living room, and we were chatting about a few things. And he said, "Did Jonathan call you?" I said, "Well, yes, because Jonathan does call me." He said, "So you're prepared for Saturday night?" I said, "For what?" He called me, but he was coming to pick up my boys to go out in the lake and do some work. He said, "Well, he was supposed to ask you to speak at the hymn sing for the young people." So I'm thankful to be here, and I wasn't really sure how or what I might present to you, but I do want to share a verse with you that my family has known just this past week because I've shared it with them. And I'm hoping that you may see this verse the way I saw it. I've never seen this verse like this before. It's in Daniel chapter 1. And we were sitting around our kitchen table, and we were reading our calendar pages. And so, I'm not certain, but Jim might have wrote that particular page, but I don't remember if it was the children's or the young people. But we've all known the stories of Daniel, and so the story that was on the calendar page, I don't even remember. But this verse was in dark black. And I read it, and these things just seemed like they leaped off the page at me. And so I'm going to try to explain it to you how I saw this. And so the verse is verse 4. And it says, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." And so it was the majority of the first part of this verse that really caught my attention. And I just want to read it again. "Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace." I'm sure I've read that verse many times. But to me, it was speaking of this time, us. And I saw it as the children in whom was no blemish, as you and I, and how God looks down because of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees you, and He sees me. And He looks and He sees no blemish. We know the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, I better look. In Ephesians chapter 5, speaking of the church, verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word by the washing of the water by the word, and this is the verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so it made me think of you and I. Children with whom was no blemish, well favored. And I wanted you to see tonight how precious you are and what He has turned you into and how much He loves you, well favored. And I wanted you to realize these things in your heart and in your mind. It was mentioned today about relationships. Spoke of a lady that translates from English to Portuguese and her husband sitting in the room watching videos. And you know, Daniel and his three friends here, they were going to be taken into a situation where they were going to be surrounded by idolatry, worldly things. That lady was translating God's word, and that TV was going in the background. And I don't know if I can explain this exactly how I hoped, but I wonder what distracts you in your lives today. And when I think of the relationships that you have with each other, I know some of you, you talk often. I know that you FaceTime and you do these things. But when you consider the place that He has brought you into, and you consider, if you know the story of Daniel, and we always go by their Chaldean names, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you consider what they went through, and the wisdom that they had, and the knowledge they were given, and you consider what you have, the wisdom, and the knowledge that He's given you, and it says the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. How did they withstand? How did they do it? How did Daniel walk out of the lion's den? How did they walk out of that fiery furnace? Can you? We know that verse in 1 Peter 5, which I'll have to turn to as well. I can't seem to quote anyone. I'm standing up here. But we're in no different condition than they were. Speaks of the devil here as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And you're in no different condition than Daniel was in that day. You're well favored. If you have put your trust in the Lord, then you're without blemish. I think Mr. Boulard mentioned in his gospel, I can't quite remember exactly how he said it, but what are you taking up your life with? What is in your life? What is in your everyday life? And so Daniel was taken up with the Lord, and he put his trust fully in Him. And these things didn't sway him, and they didn't affect him, and they didn't defile him. I think he says a little further on in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. What have you purposed in your heart? You know, I can tell you from personal experience, and again, I did not know how I was going to present this, so from personal experience, the things that I had in my life, we just recently, finally, after I don't know how many years, had the cable television taken out of our home. And you know, we wanted it out of our home for a number of years. But let me tell you how Satan works. Satan has these little things set up to trick you and I. And so, I'll just give you this quick example. I called the cable company and I said, well, I would like to keep the internet, which I really wish I didn't need that either, but I would like to keep the internet and my phone, my long-distance phone, because I get to talk to so many of you. And they said, well, Mr. Grinton, it's much cheaper for you if you keep this whole package. And so we'll give you a deal. And the deal is much better than what I was actually paying. And it ended up, it's much better than paying just for the phone and the internet. And so I agreed. Three years, I agreed that I would keep this cable in my house, this TV that I didn't want, because it was cheaper. What did it cost me? What do the things that you involve yourself with cost you, dear ones? It cost me tremendous, because I would sit there with my family and we would watch something, and then a commercial would come on the TV and Satan was speaking again. So I got to tell you, I'm so thankful to be getting rid of the king's meat, to getting that defiling thing out of my home. That's for me. I'm not speaking that for you and the things that you have, but you know what these things are. And you know, we had a portion in St. John Lornville Conference. Colossians chapter 1 was the reading meeting. And we get going along and it says about being holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And then it goes into Colossians chapter 1. I can't remember how it reads. I'm sorry. Right after that verse. Verse 22 says, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. Be not moved away. And Mr. Boulard read, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, he didn't read this verse, but it jumped off the page at me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And that just jumped off the page sitting in the meeting tonight. Without spot and blameless. And so, though He looks and sees you unblemished, you and I have a great responsibility, a super responsibility, to make sure that we, in diligence, are without spot and blameless. And that's what it talks about in that verse in Colossians 1 as well. And so I ask you again, what do you have in your lives? And does it take you from the happy time that you have with the Lord? Does it take you from reading your Bible? These are distractions that Satan puts out there for us. You know, somebody was trying to describe to me in Daniel chapter 1, it talks about at the end of that verse 4 about the language and that they wanted to teach them all those things. You know, Moses in Acts 7, he learned all the ways of the Egyptians. And they wanted to teach these ones here, those children, all those things. And, you know, why did they want that? Why does Satan want to come and take you away? Because you belong to the Lord. And so he wants you to be distracted, and he wants you to learn these things of the world. And then what's going to happen? Well, if you're talking to your friends in the meeting, just like who was it said today, the disciples? Peter, he said, I go a-fishing. Well, we'll go with you. And that's what happens, young people, older ones too. And so maybe I get a little distracted and I get a little bit away. And I tell you about it, and I learn those languages, and I fill you in, and next thing, well, you'll go with me. And so, that's what could have happened with these ones, but they stayed faithful. They remained putting their trust in the Lord, and they walked out of that fiery furnace, and he wasn't eaten by the lion. Are you going to be eaten by the lion? Satan wants to. He wants to devour you and I so quickly. But the Lord says, you're precious. He loves you, unblemished, favored. He's given you wisdom and knowledge. Why do we throw it away on things like cable TV and saving money? Why do we throw it away on our phones and there's a verse in 2 Timothy. I read this little booklet last night that was on the table back here. Continue thou. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I think that's so important. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Be careful what you learn. Be careful who you learn it from. Do you know one another? How hard have you tried to get to know each other? How hard do you spend learning the little things about each other that can tell if you're true or not, or if that person is true or not? We do have to trust each other in these things. But you know, you can tell a lot by one another if you spend that time together and you find out, well, all this person wants to do is talk about worldly things on their phone, or all this person wants to do is, I don't know, shop. Maybe there's nothing wrong with shopping. I kind of like it sometimes. But I just try to get you to see these things. And so we have to know each other as believers to be able to help each other. And I think Daniel knew those ones. You know, he was, I don't know if it's fair to say, but it seemed to me that he was favored just maybe a little bit more. And it goes on in that, I lost my bookmark, but it goes on a little further there to say, in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. He seemed like he was maybe a little favored, a little bit more. I don't know, maybe he was a little bit more faithful. I'm not certain. But I believe that in his heart, he loved his friends, the ones with which he learned these things and communed with. And so I'm certain that they probably spent time over the things of the Lord together and not the things of the world together. And so I caution you, dear ones, I grew up in a time that, and I take full responsibility for this, but the young people, we did things that were worldly things, and I continued on in those things as I got older. And you know, I'm just going to say that as you get into those things, a little bit by little bit, Daniel said, I will not be defiled. And he was firm. I will not be defiled. I didn't say that. And I'm going to give you a little description as best as I can. And again, my family's heard this, but this is defilement to me. Jeremy wears a black coat. Barak's got one. Caleb, I've got one too. And you know, have you ever brushed up against a dirty car? You know, you can take that coat and you can wipe it off. You might even get a little rag and wipe it, and it looks pretty good. But you know, if you did it again, you get the same spot, and you rub it off, and well, I think I got it, but you probably can see a remnant. By the third or fourth time, if you haven't taken that jacket to the washing machine or to the dry cleaners, you can rub that all you want. That black coat's got a big, dirty stain on it. That's what the defiling things of this world do to you and I. You think you can get in there just a little bit and you can get back out. But you know what? As soon as you're defiled by it and you go back in, you're defiled again. And you're defiled more and more and more to where you think it's everyday life. And you think it's okay. But you know what? It's not okay. It's not good. Satan's the one winning that battle, not you. And there was something somebody was telling me about the end of that verse 4, and I'd be wrong to try to explain it because it was something about the language, but they said it was like a half of a language and half of a language. But what it made me think of was how we try to serve two masters. And I know we've heard that before, but we try to serve two masters. And you know, with that language, where it was half of this language and half of that language, they ended up, they wouldn't speak it. And that should be us. We shouldn't have any desire to try to serve two masters. We should only have one in our hearts. We should want to be filled up with that and to go on for Him. And so if you have things that are worldly and defiling and slowing you down and baggage, beg you now, and I'll pray for you, get rid of it. Get it out of your life and get rid of it. Because you have something far greater, without blemish, favored. He loves you. The ability to stand up. He loves you. And He's given that to you all. Now you have it. If you believe in Him, if you've put your trust in Him, why would you throw it away on the foolish things of this world? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And if you would get to know each other, I don't mean that you don't, because I don't know you all that well, but if you would get to know each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, everybody knows this is my favorite thing about provoking one another to love and to good works. Poke each other. Say, hey, what are you doing that for? What is going on with you right now? Don't be afraid to ask. We've come through this time, and I was a part of it, that we've gone through this thing where we're afraid to say anything to each other. You know, oh, so-and-so, they might not come back if I said something to them. Well, you know what? If you do that in love and you really care for that person, then you're doing the right thing. And you should go to that person and you should pray about it and go see them and help them along. Help them. Don't be afraid to do it. You love them. Help keep them. The Lord will give you the strength and the courage to do it. And so that was how I looked at that verse the other night when it jumped off the page. I really, really enjoyed it. I hope you understood it. And I hope it will help you realize how precious you really are to Him and how much He loves you and wants you to stay. Let's pray.